Council Interview, December 19th, 2025, Part 2.
We can move on to the fifth item, a big one, always is, of course, and very, very important one, the Capital Works Program. Just running through, and you might like to comment then, Bernard, on some of the specifics, $100,000 for the CCTV in Ray Street CBD, and obviously that aids security and safety. Anzac Park, $600,000 development, that'll be the playground equipment, I assume. Emmaville and Wellington Vale Roads for nearly $2.9 million. Shannon Vale, Pinkett Haymarket, Farrakabad and Maybole Roads, a big figure there, getting close to $7 million. Comments on all of that?
That's right. Look, it's a great read in terms of what council is actually doing out there in terms of infrastructure. As you mentioned, people will have seen the progress of the Anzac Park Playground. That's in total a $1.2 million project. And that will be open to the public in mid-January. It will look fairly complete soon, but there's still some safety inspections to finalise and some other work. The road projects are enormous. There's enormous amounts of money there, but and particularly roads like Rangers Valley Road, which is key to one of our most important industries, being Rangers Valley. And we then have more humble things around curb and channel and footpaths. But also the CCTV is an important one. It links back to the Community Safety Forum, and we're about to appoint a contractor for those works. We've expended to date almost $14 million, and our total budget's around $30 million. So it's an enormous investment in community infrastructure.
Well, thanks for that summary, Bernard. Moving on to our sixth item, the adoption of the draft Glen Innes Highlands Economic Development Strategy. And can I throw in a question there too? Does the sale yards get a mention in that?
Specifically, I don't think so. The strategy is the economic development strategy. It's a advancement on the previous strategy, which really set the scene around place-based economic development. And this new strategy goes a little bit further to talk about how strategically we can leverage the wellbeing economy, which is much broader, obviously, than mental health and that kind of thing. This is about the overall well-being of the community and all of the livability elements that integrate into that, and also really upping the ante in terms of opportunity for community wealth building. So that that might also link in with place-based capital investment. Certainly, we want to make sure that we're supporting business and industry and that we're creating jobs. The main goal out of the economic development strategy is to drive a population growth to 10,000 by 2032, if I've got that right from memory. And that requires us to look at a number of elements across the economic development of Glen Innes Highlands as a whole. The destination management plan is really centred around a really strong ambition for Glen Innes Highlands to put in a nomination. You know, it could take 5 years or so to get there, but to become a UNESCO Global Geopark. And what we need to do to drive to that potential nomination, which would really elevate the region from a visitor point of view especially, but also from a livability point of view. So the destination management plan is really trying to centrally leverage Glen Innes being a third pilot geo-region in Australia and making sure that all of our products and experiences are levelled up to the geotourism framework, which then enables us to put this eventual application in to become a UNESCO Global Geopark.
Thank you, Margot. Our seventh item, the development assessment. Of course, I'm dealing with the recommendation to council and assuming that that was passed for the energy storage system. About a bit over $4 million development on Wellingrove Street, Bernard.
That's right, and this came to council given its size. But the interesting thing about this is the nature of the project and the energy transition. And we will see more projects like this and larger projects, which is about storing cheap electricity during the day and dispatching it at night. So it went through all the regulatory processes. There were no great concerns around it. Council was very comfortable to adopt the recommendation, but as I said, the interesting part of this is what it is, which is a large battery, and it just reflects the times we are in and the energy transition which is taking place across the country.
Now, its location, 1 Wellingrove Street, but the mapping and so on, which I did check through, it did mention west of Farrakabad Creek. I think it should have read east of Farrakabad Creek.
Okay, well, that's a good point. Your mapping might be more diligent than ours. But, yes, I think it's fairly clear in the technical description where it is.
Right, yes. So, yeah, it's on the northern side of Gwydir Highway and basically close to the current substation. And
yes.
So on the eastern side adjacent to the creek.
And certainly the proximity to the substation is important, as, you know, that's where the electricity needs to go, and it minimises the construction costs.
Okay. I've just got one additional question which wasn't on the agenda. No meeting for January. Next meeting would be 26th of February. Sorry to put you on the mat on that one. It's a fourth Thursday.
I think it's the
third week in
February. Oh, it's the third, so
yes.
It's one earlier than that, meaning about the 19th, I think. And one item on that agenda was, I think you mentioned last time, was the options for the future of Visalia's. That will still be on the agenda for the February meeting, I assume.
Well, it's up to the general manager to decide the agenda. Obviously, we've got a little bit of time between now and then, so hopefully February, mm-hmm. It may be March, but that will be decided by the general manager and making sure that when that report does go up, that it is thorough, that it provides the options for council to consider the pathway forward. And we also, in February, look forward to, out of the tracking report, a CCTV public safety strategy, which links back to our new community public safety forum, and also the local fund, which is, it's like a growth fund concept for Glen Innes, and that is coming back in February as well, which I'm looking forward to, because what that will do is set a framework for any renewable energy projects and the money that comes out of voluntary planning agreements and any potential future money around access scheme investment to be put into a growth fund of sorts and utilised for the benefit of council and community.
Yes, I know. I think the figure was 41,000 contribution with the development application in this case.
Yeah, so okay. We need a place to put that and wrap around it a framework so that it does enable long-term economic development. And the North Star, well, certainly my North Star as mayor, is to try and improve socioeconomic prosperity across the community. So okay. These things need to all, you know, we need a framework around it so that any funding is dispensed fairly and based on our plans and based on the needs of our community and give opportunity for community wealth building.
Well, thank you, Margot. Thank you, Bernard. And if we can just conclude with, and I'm sure you'd echo those comments, a happy and safe Christmas and, again, a safe and prosperous new year to all our listeners out there, to the Glen Innes community.
Yes. Can I take this opportunity to wish everyone a very merry and safe Christmas? If you are travelling, please drive carefully, enjoy yourself and look after each other. I do want to wish everyone a merry Christmas and a safe Christmas. Yes, please look after yourself and reach out to those that might not have much family or might be a bit lonely in the community. It's a time for caring and sharing.
And thank you, Marco. Thank you all. Thank you, David, for your time this morning, and thanks for specifically coming in for this. That's been great.
Council interview, December 19th, 2025. End of part 2.